tell you what we're going to begin with. We're going to take about 5 minutes of silence, maybe a little longer. And all I would like you to do is to yourself, say the name Jesus. Just Jesus. And just think about him. And however you have fellowship, just continually meditate and say and think about the Lord Jesus. We'll take about 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. What you just did and what you were saying is more important than anything that I have to say or anyone else. Do you feel the peace? You feel the stillness? Call it anything you want to call it that's within his name. The joy, the contentment, the strength. It actually settled a lot of your battles. Give you courage. Felt his love. On and on and on and on. On and on and on. Some of you most likely are saying, Tim, will you be quiet so I can continue? And those of you who are saying that, you're right in order. You're completely in order. Because he wants that level of fellowship. He's told us more than once that you need to steal away or move away in moments of the day just to have fellowship with him. If you sat there and you would have said, Nathan, 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 or Dave, 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 or Gary, 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 or Alan, Alan, Alan. There is no other name, no other name that can fill your heart and fill your mind. Fill your whole life with light and life and truth. And what's so wonderful about it is that it was personal. What he shared with you in those moments is not what he shared with me, because he's the only one that had the ability to look at my heart and know exactly what I needed for this moment. And your heart does not have the same needs, the same wants, the same desires, the same longings that mine does. But it can become that personal. I'd like you to write down one little quick attribute or one little quick thought, and that is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time can be summed up in one single word. Redeeming the time can be summed up in one single word. And that word is obedience. Obedience. Now I'm going to I'm going to address some things to some individuals because I know they won't hit me and that they love me. But Nathan, where do you think you would be today if Alan was not obedient? Just obedient. Just obedient. And Alan, you talk about redeeming the time. How much time do you think the Lord has put on your account for that one time of obedience in regards to Nathan? We make his life so complicated. If I remember the story correctly, Alan was invited to someplace else, probably more money, more whatever, a larger congregation, etc., etc. And somehow he was able to hear. Not only did he hear, but he obeyed. Not only did he have a listening ear, he had a heart that had within it obedience. And he went to this little church. Most of you know that story. But everything that Nathan ever accomplishes will go on Alan's reward chart. And on Nathan's war chart. And every single one of you have been that kind of obedience in your life. The Lord calls it the little things, didn't he? Within the last year, he said, he didn't say it negative. He said it, I'm going to say it my way. Would you please consider and take the time to think about the little things that you've done that has touched someone's life, and that I, the Lord, am now able to minister to them, to help them grow, to help them serve me. Just the little things. If you go in your Bible to Philippians, I'm actually not going to give you much time. That's why we have media. And that's why you can download everything and re-listen to that you want. But Philippians 2:10 says the following. And for the sake of time, I'm going to probably read out of the Amplified mostly. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. You brought everything that's coming against you in regards to a knee, regards to every event. You brought everything to a position of bowing to that name, no matter what problem you're going through, no matter what crisis, no matter what life events. Those events, those individuals, those demonic powers, whatever, they will bow to that name. And that's what you just did in less than 5 minutes. No one else can say that name like you can about your problems. Because nobody else knows your problems like you and the Holy Spirit that you co-labor with. And He's waiting for that name. He's waiting for your heart to turn from the difficulty and turn to the answer to all the difficulties in just a single name, Jesus. 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 Some of you restrained yourself. You know, some of you are living this, already doing this, and in your private times, you never sit for 5 minutes and just be still and say, Jesus, because it roars up inside of you and you begin to shout or whatever you do. How many of you have really, really, really been enjoying the services that we've had here at the prayer center this year? Can I see your hand? Well, I don't know how you could have. I don't know really how you really could have. At least when you first heard it. Now, the fruit is coming on the vine. But to me, some of the messages have been like when I had an accident one time on a graveled road and scarred up my leg, and they took me to emergency, and instead of feeling sorry for me, they came out with what I considered at the time the largest and the biggest wire brush. And they had to dig the gravel out of my leg before I could be healed. And they lied to me and said, this is not going to hurt much. And when they had put straps on my chest and I was laying there that I couldn't do anything about it, that's how the Holy Spirit has brought maturity to us this year. And I know you know this, but you know that those individuals that have spoken from the pulpit, they really have no choice. Number one, they're not that smart. They're very, very smart. Don't get me wrong. But they don't know what each one of us need. All they become is an empty vessel to speak the truth. To speak the truth. Isn't it wonderful to know that each one of you that have been here, been in the services, that the Lord Jesus has given you that amount of grace ahead of the truth so that you could receive it, even though in some cases it has felt like a wire brush. But this church is not a babysitting church as He has called it in the past. This church, not a babysitting church. I'm going to read to you one of the words that have come forth. Really, you've heard me use the word blueprint in the past, but your present-day speaking document that's been handed out over and over and over again is the blueprint for the family of the prayer center. Family of the Prayer Center is not a place. Family of the Prayer Center is a group of disciples. It is a group. It is a family. It is a fellowship. And He has given us that blueprint, or His heart's desires, time and time and time again. First time He used the word blueprint was in 2004, if I remember correctly. I could look it up and read it to you, but you understand it's a blueprint. You understand that He only says those things that are necessary to say for our best benefit. This word came forth in 2014. For you who have turned yourself over, this kind of training will begin to follow you. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit has been sent to share and show and tell us things to come? When you listen to the messages that are coming forth, it's amazing to me. I mean, Leah has to live with me when I get excited. It's amazing that what is being spoken from the pulpit was told to us in a word from the Lord 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago. And it's almost like they're mimicking, or they're only repeating what He's already told us ahead of time to prepare us for where we're going to be walking. It's amazing. Just like, I never knew you said that. And I was listening. You know, I was literally listening when you said it. And I have a copy of it. But here you are telling us again. Because He's told us to be laser focused. Believe me when I say, and you already know in your own life, the Holy Spirit is laser focused. He is never double-minded. He is laser focused. Okay, to the word. For you who have turned yourself over to the Lord. You have. This kind of training will begin to follow you. For most of you stayed for reasons down on the inside that some of you do not know yet. How many times have you said, what am I still doing here? That's not your spirit saying that, right? That is the enemy coming against a portion of your soul that has not been renewed, etc., etc. And why are you still here? Look at all the empty seats. For most of you stayed for reasons down on the inside that some of you do not know yet. That your calling extends much farther than sitting in a chair. Really extends to the world. Really extends to the next generation. The revival that we continually talk about is at the same level of revival that the early church was birthed. The difference is we have media and they didn't. If I was going to fight, if I was the enemy, I would take my biggest and best and come against a place that is saying they're contending for revival at the level of Pentecost, knowing that that revival will go to the world through media. Mark it down. The enemy reads every word of the Lord that comes forth from this place. He has his present day of speaking roster. He's heard every single thing that the Lord has said. Somebody, some yimp or something is reported back to him. You understand this is going on, and he's pretty smart. In relationship to the Lord, he's not. But he's heard where we're headed. He's heard every single promise that you have been given personally and that we have been given as a family. He's heard every single one of them. And he cannot see the future, but he knows that media is a part of it because the Lord said it. The Lord has said, and you've heard, I now have voices that I can speak my truth and it will go to the world. So here, there is not anybody here that I am not offering the gifts of healing and miracles to. Not a single one that I'm not offering this. But you must know that the word flows here the way it does because it is for equipping also. All of the messages I'm majoring on or addressing this year, but every message that's come forth has taught us how to put the armor on more tight, more complete, battle ready to win. And that's equipping. We've heard, I didn't know I need this. I didn't know I need this. I thought I knew this. But now it's tighter than ever before to stand, to fight, to win. All of the winning is done. All we have to do is receive it. Doesn't seem that way. But it has already been won for us. We just have to stand in it and receive it. But you must know that the word flows here the way it does, because it is for equipping also. For this is not the usual babysitting church. This is a church I am relying on for revival, says the Lord. When he says relying on, I have a lot of people in my life that I rely on. But for the Lord to say he's relying on you, and he's relying on me. I don't know what that does to you, but certainly it caused our hearts to attention to say, you mean me? Certainly it could be someone else, or should be someone else. And he's saying, no, it's you. I'm relying on you for the revival that I'm bringing. Next subject is, or the next word is, the messages that are coming will not be namby-pamby, and those who do not know me will find them very hard to tolerate in their souls. A portion of me qualifies for that. Have you ever been called namby-pamby? Some of you may have never heard that word. But if someone would call me namby-pamby when I was growing up, I wasn't very big, but I did think a lot about how to get even with them. And I could hold a grudge at that time a long time. But he's saying here that the messages that are coming forth are not the kind that are namby-pamby. Some of those I speak of sit in the midst of you, and some will find it very hard to restrain themselves from leaving. Some will leave, Some will stay, but with much struggle. These are not easy days that are coming. They are days of grace to endure. You've heard before that every day is a day of grace. Every day is a day. Some days, the days of grace are to enjoy. And some days, the days of grace are days to endure. And we've been in a enduring season. And the words that have coming forth are telling us again and again that the days of us enjoying are upon us. My peace comes from fellowship with me, and this fellowship is your strength. Those who do not know the message of my fellowship will not be able to stand through some of the storms that you will walk through. But because you are allowing my truth to be spoken and my building to be built tall and strong, your buildings will stand in the storm ahead. Victory. Victory. Rejoice and be glad that I am able to say the things that I'm saying. These are the things I have wanted to say and that are necessary for what lies ahead and are necessary for the outpouring that will come, which will precede my return. Oh, I am glad. We evidently, not knowing it, have given him permission to speak of things that he's unable to speak if we had not given him the permission. So for the messages that have come forth that have touched us, touched our unrestored soul pretty hard, we can't blame the speaker because we've given the Lord permission. Because he's not going to go against our... He has brought us to a place that we've given him permission to tell us what they're telling us. So you can give them all a hug after the service and say, "I'm sorry, I blamed you." Because we've given the permission for them to say it. I am purifying fellowship with me. A dividing began when I spoke of a time that was beginning when messages would not be namby-pamby. Instead, they would be messages for those who were ready to continue forward in a narrow place of fellowship with me. This is continuing, but things have accelerated. He must be in a hurry if he had to accelerate. But we are ready to receive those truths. No matter what the enemy is telling you, my word is beginning to take its proper place in the heart, a place of receiving and understanding. Faith is of the heart, and the days ahead will require strength in believing. For I will be taking many into unforeseen places in me, places of faith and great and mighty things. And to do so requires an earnest place of fellowship and believing. I'm sure that every one of you has experienced new levels of fellowship with him and Him only. He is a very jealous God. Why would He say, stop drinking coffee? It had nothing to do with the coffee. It had to do with redeeming the time and being obedient to the commands that I'm asking, the little things that I'm asking you to do. Why would He say, and you know, why would He say, stop watching so much football? Every one of you have those events in your life. Every one of you. Because He's just not speaking to one of us. He's speaking to every one of us. Stop this. Stop that. Not so much stop as would you do something different with your time. And I'm a time management person. I'm God. And I'm going to tell you what's most important, because I see your future, and all I'm doing is training you for over here. Because we've been taught, I can answer a question for you. It's going to happen 100 years from now, because I'm already there and know it. So I am so interested in your life and you fulfilling my life through you so that you're full of joy. I'm asking you to do this little thing. The most recent words, when He talks about rearranging, is that the word He used, rearranging? Reordering. Reordering. How much of your life has He already reordered? One of the individuals that work with me, we went through an event this week, and we looked at each other. Well, we were talking, but we looked at each other and said, where did this peace come from? When did we receive it? It was like we received it, but we didn't even know we had it. And we can look back years, and maybe not that many years. Don't, you know, we could look back 3 years or whatever and say, if this event would have happened back then, I know how I would have responded. But this, experiencing this peace, how did we get it? Where did it come from? I mean, we know it was the Lord, but where did it come from? You know, I don't have a date where I can say I got it. It just came. And it's there. And each one of your lives are the same way. Every one of you, you're different. The trouble is that maybe we're the last one to see ourselves because of the enemy. You can see it on someone else. I can see it on someone else. But to look at myself and see it, okay, the enemy is, somehow he's increased the volume of his voice. Has that happened to you? Somehow it seems like he doesn't have anything else to do but talk to me, and he's leaving you alone. And not, you know, because you're evidently not as important or something. And you can say the same thing to me. Tim, why isn't he bothering you like he's bothering me? That's where we are. That's exactly where we are. And he's scared. My word is beginning to take its proper place in the heart, a place of receiving and understanding. Faith is of the heart, and the days ahead will require strength in believing. For I will be taking many into unforeseen places in me, places of faith, and great and mighty things. And do so requires the earnest place of fellowship and believing. I am so pleased to be taken many into this place with me. I am preparing an army who will serve me, who will bring about swift justice. We've seen very little justice. very little justice. I can remember a word that came forth that the Lord said, the reason that I am unable to bring judgment, which is justice. The reason I am unable to bring judgment is because I have very few. He either said very few, or he said, I have no man, no part of my body that is free from all judgment. And when I get a part of my body free from all of their own judgment, I will then be able to bring my judgment. And you already know that the judgment begins at the house of the Lord. He's not talking about, I would like for him to be talking about, the laws that are being passed that are destroying our nation. I'd like to talk about that, but he has no desire for me to talk about that. He has a desire for me to become someone that is free from all judgment, that he can bring his judgment. And when he brings it, it'll be very pure and complete. The words I speak and the written words are the life, the strength, the nourishment, and the equipping that will carry the fuel of this army. The words that I speak and the written word. I continually remind you about the present day speaking. I hope that you're reading it. I pray that you're meditating on it. Every one of us, every one of us, we have a responsibility. It's really a privilege, but let's put it at the level of responsibility. We have a responsibility to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. We have a responsibility to speak the truth exactly the way the Lord was. But be careful that you not take a step in to false responsibility, because it is not my responsibility or yours to make you believe the truth. That's your responsibility. There's so much of the body and so much of you, even our lives, I'll keep it here, that I'm wanting somebody else to take the responsibility of the truth that I know I'm to be walking in, and their only responsibility was to give it to me. And it's my responsibility to own up to it and become more than just a hearer. I go to the face-to-face. I can hear him and hear him and hear him and hear him. And if I still remain in the hearing mode and not the doing mode, there is no growth in hearing. I got to eat it. I got to digest it. And he's super, super in love with me. Super. Like he is with you. And he is long-suffering, and he loves us and loves us and more loves us and loves us. But he's wanting us to become a doer of it in the little things. Excellence of fellowship is hearing. I didn't know this was in here. Excellence of fellowship is hearing and taking to heart that which I say to you and that which I show you. I am pleased to say these things, for many are ready to receive that which I bring, and I bring that which is necessary for equipping. I see yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I know all things. I never bring anything unnecessarily. Do you have friends that you have to listen to? And it seems like the majority of what they have to say is unnecessary. I pray that I'm not one. Leah and I, over the month of May, June, went to a wedding out of state that we were really required to go to from the Lord. We went to a graduation of a college student that we're very proud of, and etc. And then we went to a graduation of a high school granddaughter that we're very proud of. But at those three events, we were in what I would call darkness. I can't tell you that I had an open vision. I don't know what to call it, but in every one of those events, all I could see is people who had been blinded by the world system. I'm sure there were born again people there, but the darkness that I felt, the love that I felt, and the desire I had for a light to shine into that darkness, their values were not my values. Their life, the importance that they put on things amazed me. So evidently I'm sheltered, because I get to see you guys and I don't see any darkness. And we are going to shine. We're going to shine. I will read this and then close. Hey, church, here's who we are. Here's who you are. A church who looks not at the seen, but the unseen, which is life in me and a place in the Father with me as joint heirs. You are prepared for these things. It is the year of power. It is the year of co-laboring. It is the year to only believe. See you in 30 minutes.